Before we begin, I would like to give a shout out to our patrons, but especially to Jen, Caroline, Natalie, Claudia, Saul, Andrea, Maria, Luis, Edith, and Kimberly. If you would like to help support this podcast, you can do so in exchange for a reward at patreon.com/bitterbrownfems. All right, so let's start the show.
We'll do it live. We'll do it live! Fuck it! Do it live! I'll write it and we'll do it live! Fucking thing sucks!
Hi, and welcome back to another episode of Bitter Brown Femmes. This is your host, Cassandra.
And this is your other host, Ruben.
So what's up, bitch? What's up?
Nothing much. What's up with you, bitch? We're keeping you so busy that you can't record.
Wow, why do you always drag me like that? You know I've been busy. I recently just moved, okay?
Where'd you move to? Did you move to Durangito? I heard they're building some pretty dope shit.
Wow. That's so fucking rude. That is so fucking rude. No, I have not. The hipsters have. I haven't. Yeah, no, I moved houses. I got a new place to live, and so that's what I've been doing. Moving everything physically and then mentally. Because it's the first time I live by myself. Technically, I live with my son, so I'm not, like, by myself, even though... Technically by myself, right? Because he's not here all the time, and he's also
he's kind of whack, right?
Wow. I will not tolerate any slander against my child. Yeah, no. So, you know, before I've always lived with somebody, like roommates, one roommate, two roommates, my parents, somebody, you know. So it's different, and I feel like it's weird because, like, I lived with my parents when I separated from my son's dad. And so, technically, like, I've lived with my parents, so I've lived with, like, mostly my mom. But even though I lived with her, I still felt like there wasn't, like, a support system. Like, even though I lived there, there wasn't, like, an actual support system. And so now that I live alone, I feel like, wow, like, I'm a fucking single mom. Like, it's more, which is weird, because, like I said, like, I live with, like, I've always been, like, a single mom, but it's more so... now, if that makes sense. So it feels like a lot. Like, I live alone, and then I'm like, wow, I'm a single mom. And then I'm like, it's just like a new stage in my life.
I'm so proud of you, friend.
Thank you. Me too. Even though, and it feels scary, but like exciting, and like I can do whatever the fuck I want, which is weird to say because I'm almost 30. So and a mom, so of course I can do whatever I want. But when you live with parents, even though you're like 30 and have a child, they still treat you like you're 12. At least my parents do. And so even when I live with my parents, like I was still, yeah, I could go out whenever, but they were still like this, like, a donde vas kind of look, even, you know, like, and so now I'm like, I can do whatever I want and buy whatever I want. And so I went grocery shopping and just bought all this stuff that my mom probably would side-eye me for if I bought. So, yeah, I went grocery shopping. That was a big thing. I was like, yeah, Luca, put that shit in there. Let's buy all these fucking donuts. So, yeah. I'm like, oh, I don't have to pick that shit up. I can just leave it on the floor without you telling me anything.
Your house is a mess, bro. She hasn't even unpacked. She's living off of boxes. And fucking Lunchables.
I'm trying to see how long I can go before my Virgo moon is like, pick that shit up. So yeah, that's what I've been doing. Being a rebel.
Being a Latina rebel.
Yeah. I hate you. But no, it's been, it's also been like, I don't know, you know, it's just like this, I don't even want to have this awful... deep conversation about like being in an emotionally abusive house with your parents, right? Which is like very common for a lot of like Latinx, I feel. Because I posted this this tweet that I saw around the time that I started like moving and stuff. And the tweet says, people of color that live in toxic or emotionally draining households filled with generational trauma and the close-minded belief systems perpetuated by their parents are stronger than all the armed forces combined. And I was like, wow, that's me.
That's real as fuck.
That is, right? Uh-huh. Like, it's just, like, it, I don't know. Like, it's like a, you, your parents are, like, emotionally abusive, and they don't even realize that because that's, like, how they grew up, or those are their defense mechanisms from surviving, you know, all these things. That's how I feel about my mom, but it's also not an excuse, and it still fucks you up. And so now that I moved out, like, I think I was telling you, like, my mom all of a sudden is, like, being very nice to me, but that's always happened. Every time we live apart is, like, when we have a good relationship, but when we live together, it's, like, I cannot coexist in the same space as you because it's toxic for me. So, but it's also, like, I don't know. It's, like, that relationship.
But also you're my mother.
But also you're my mother, even though you do this, and, like, I kind of understand where it's coming from, and I'm thankful for everything that you've done for me and all the sacrifices, and I acknowledge, like, your hardships, but it's also, like, not healthy, and I also don't want my child to inherit that or live in a space like I did, you know, but I still love you. But now I'm gonna live in another part of the city so that so that we can be good, right? Because that's the only way we can be good.
That's real as fuck. I always feel like you and I are, like, going through, like, inverted phases, right? So not only, like, with activism, right, you took it offline mostly and are now doing more groundwork. And I, you know, went from doing groundwork to, like, being online mostly. But also, like, you moved out of your mom's house and, like, I moved into my mom's house. Like,
yeah. But it's, like, the same struggles.
Yeah. So I moved back to LA. I think I mentioned that on the last episode. But now it's, like, real, because now I have, like, a room. Like, before I was, like, couch surfing, essentially. I always get the two confused, crowd and couch surfing. But, yeah, now I'm, like, not couch surfing anymore. But I'm living in LA, and my mood has improved so much. Like, I don't know, I was going through, like, the last 2 years were, like, a really thick depression, and lately, like, since I moved to LA, like, I've just been, like, I've been waking up with more energy, like, I have been just taking care of myself more, and I really love it, right? So I'm glad I moved down. Even though I'm living with my mother, it's just, like,
is it comforting?
I don't know. I don't know if that's the word. Yeah, I think it is comforting because my family is, like, really, really united for, like, the first time in, like, our whole fucking lives. Mm-hmm. And so I get to bear witness to that on, like, a daily basis, and it's, like, really beautiful to me. Yeah, people are often, like, when people hear my story, right, about, like, me being kicked out of the house when I was when I came out as queer, like, they're like, how did you ever talk to your family again? Or what's what resulted of that? And it's just, like, it was a long process of, like, me educating them to, like, not be, you know, homophobic. And it's still a process of, like, working with them. But I'm at a point where, like, it's all that work is paying off. And, like, I am surrounded by family and, like, love and, like, all the annoying shit that comes with that too. Right? So, yeah, I'm in a good place.
That's good. Yeah. I always feel like when I was in my early 20s and I would move out, and I would feel like my life was, or like, I remember one specific time I was going through this really ugly depression, and I felt like I moved back in with my parents, and it felt, even though, like, I just was just talking about how living with them is, like, very toxic, but at the moment I felt very, like, peaceful. Yeah. Living with my parents, because I felt like, this is familiar to me, or this is comforting to me, right? So that was, like, my safe haven, which is weird because it was both. It's, like, both things now, you know? Like, I still, like, I've gone to my mom's house, like, to get stuff, or, like, my son is taking a while to get used to the fact that we don't live there anymore, so he wants to go there still. And so, like, I'll take him, and like being there, I'm still like, oh, I feel like safe here in this weird way, or like it's clean here. My mom's house is very it's clean here, right? Like, I don't know, that's what I associate my mom and my mom's house with, like clean, like we were always fucking cleaning. So like it's clean here and like I like it here and it feels familiar to me, but at the same time, like, I don't want to be here after like a certain amount of time, because then you just start like, you know, saying or doing these things. So I gotta go. So I don't know, it's weird. And it's, you know, I was just talking about how it's both living with your Latinx parents, right? But anyway, summer's almost over, right? Technically, I feel like when school starts, it feels like that's it.
Yeah. Thank God I don't go to school, so I don't have to worry about that. But your child is in school, so you're feeling it.
Yeah, I'm feeling it. My baby is going to start kindergarten on Monday, so I don't want to be a typical mom, but I am going to be a typical mom. Like, that's so sad. I'm sad. Aww. And I'm also like, yes. Like, you know. Like, I'm sad. Well, I'm sad he's going to be gone for a full day. But I'm also like, wow, I get to get off work and I have, like, some time to do some shit before I pick you up, you know? So, it's both.
So he's going to go to school and learn about American history. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, the Texas books are like horrible.
They are so bad.
The textbooks?
They're so bad.
Get ready for having to like re-educate him when he gets home.
I know. Yeah. I'm looking forward to that. Because in pre-K, they taught him like the Pledge of Allegiance. Like it was like a thing for him to learn it. Like he was supposed to learn it. And I think he does know it. And I was just like, you don't need to know that. It's okay if you don't. Like, I'm ready to tell him, like, if you don't want to, like, you don't have to say that. Like, you don't have to stand up. And if someone makes you stand up, they can fucking call me, you know? That's what I'm ready for. I just want to fight. I just want to fight all the principals and the teachers. Oof.
All right. Well, speaking of fighting, who are we fighting today?
Speaking of, you know, school. Public education, it's a hot mess. But you know how they always teach you like about George Washington, the flag, and you know in Texas you have to recite the Texas Pledge too. Like you do the U.S. and then you do the Texas one.
I don't even know what that means.
There's like a, it's like a, the Pledge of Allegiance, but like for Texas. Like the Texas Pledge, which I never paid attention to it, so I don't even know it. So like I should kind of, but I don't, and I don't care about it. But that's our government. And speaking of our government, what shitty things have they done this week? Because they do some shit every fucking week, or every fucking day.
They actually started a religious task force this week. Or
that sounds like some week. Fucking superhero.
Right, that's exactly what I thought about. It reminded me of like the X-Men, where like,
yeah,
I forgot who it was. Stryker, I think, like did like a mutant exterminating task force, and they were out killing mutants with sentinels and shit. That's what it reminds me of.
Yeah, that's what that sounds like. It doesn't even sound real. The religious task force is here to make you all convert to Christianity.
You know, we gotta praise Jesus.
Mm-hmm. So what is the religious task force?
It's supposed to protect the rights of people who are being persecuted for their religion, right? Which sounds fine and dandy, right? If we were to protect, like, marginalized religions in the U.S. But, bitch, this is the same government that just, like, you know, keeps fighting to install a Muslim ban, right, and travel in the U.S., and the Supreme Court keeps telling them, like, nah, y'all are racist, right? So I'm just like, what religious groups are y'all trying to protect? Because, like, the KKK is a religious group, technically, and so is the West Baptist Church.
Yeah, and they've always been protected.
Yeah, so I'm just like, what are you protecting, bitch?
So white Christianity.
Basically, right? And it's like, it's like a white supremacist dog whistle, essentially, right? Because it's telling y'all, like, these white religions are going to be protected, right? It's a white nationalist agenda, essentially, right? because we have to remember that, you know, this is the same administration, you know, where Mike Pence is the vice president, right? And this is the same dude who, you know, thought that, you know, federal funding should be used for gay conversion therapy. And, like, that's, like, not the wave, right? We are coming, we're also coming from a place, right, where, you know, what's his name? Trump wants to repeal Roe versus Wade, right? And, like, who are, like, the main, like, driving force behind, like, you know, anti-choice, right? It's, like, the church. I remember it was this weird... I used to live in Ventura, and there was... I used to run by this Planned Parenthood all the time, and right across from the street from it was, like, I think, like, an evangelical church or some shit. And I feel like every Sunday without fail, them bitches would like cross the street after mass or something and just like protest at the Planned Parenthood. And I'm just like, y'all bitches don't have nothing better to do, right?
No, but, they do not.
But that's kind of what I'm, saying, right? Like, it's not like protect what religious like opinions and what marginalizations, right? It's kind of like, so what's happening is that like we are, the United States is preparing to protect certain like attacks on marginalized people via this religious task force. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And it's like Christians really do, they really do believe that they are discriminated against and prosecuted. Like genuinely, I mean like all white people too, but Christians do believe that, and I know because you've met many of them who think everything people. The quote-unquote left does is an direct attack on them and their religion, and I'm just like, what the fuck are you talking about? Because Christianity is privileged. It's like the privileged religion in the United States. It's what the country used to commit genocide and to justify slavery, and everything else that they do is justified through their religion. So I feel like it's just going to be more, like you said, like it is a dog whistle, and it's now they're going to be even more chingones with their fucking like bullshit, you know, like more, like if that makes sense, like they're going to be more empowered by like, not that they weren't already, because the government does not know what the fuck separation of state and religion means, you know, so this is like even more so. And religion is like, even if you don't believe in religion or Christianity or whatever, like, it still, like, plays a big part in everybody's life, even if you're not with it, because that's, like, the government, and that's all the decisions that they make.
Even if you're not with it?
Even if you're not with it, even if you're not with religion, so...
You don't fuck with them,
bitches? You don't fuck with it. It still plays a fucking part in your life, unfortunately.
No, that's real. So it's just, like, a scary time. Per usual.
Right. Scary times.
Yeah. Who else is surprising people right now?
Fucking Disney. Disney. Like always.
The bitches always be oppressing people.
They are.
The little mouse.
The little fucking mouse. She just
wants money.
Oh my god. But anyway, Disney, like 2 weeks ago, I would say, they agreed is a key word here, to pay its workers $15 an hour. So their employees were usually making like $10,000 or less a year. And this is like, again, it's Disney, a fucking multi-billion dollar fucking company. Like, it's not some little like, this is fucking Disney, who has like so much fucking money, and their whole thing I feel is like image, like their image, right, at Disneyland or Disney World. It's like the aesthetic, like it's clean, it has to be organized, you know, like that whole thing. And the people, their actual employees who do the work to upkeep their brand and their image for their customers, like, are being paid shit. They're being overworked and they're being paid shit. So Disney, again, the keyword is agreed. Like, they didn't even do it on their own. It was like, I think someone had said, because obviously, I posted this this article and someone in my comments, who I'm assuming lives in California, said, at first Disney had teamed up with the city government to be on the ballot for November. The elections were going to decide if they got a pay raise over a yes or no vote, pretty much. So, like, they weren't, like, people were, like, forcing them to do this. So it's not like, yay, we're going to applaud fucking Disney, because it should have been happening a long ass time ago. And, like, they were trying to find a way out of it by asking people if they should do it or not. And, oh, let's see. Back in March, I had posted a story, actually, about a Disney worker who worked at, I don't know if it was Disneyland or Disney World. Her name was Eunice Misfin. And I'm sorry if I pronounced her name wrong. But she was known as Winnie for short. And she was a Disney employee and she was homeless. She lived out of her car and she would park it in this gym where she would shower. And she was, you know, she died in her car and it took them a month to find her because, she didn't have a house. She was alone. She lived in her car and Disney had fired her prior to that. And someone, the only reason this story was out is because another employee at Disney she wrote about it. Like, she wrote this in memory of Winnie. And also because Disney workers were also recently on strike to get these pay raises. Like, it wasn't Disney that was like, hey, we should pay our workers. Like, these workers and unions had a fight for Disney to do this. And so she wrote this story. And so when I saw that Disney, you know, was like, hey, we're going to start paying people $15 an hour. I'm like, well, you should have done that a longest time ago. And maybe Winnie wouldn't have died. And may she rest in power. But that's like a fucking sad ass story, but also very common. And I'm sure there's a lot of Winnies out there, not just at Disney, but at any company really, because that's
Amazon is a big, big, you know, agent of displacement and gentrification, right? A lot of, I think it was their office in Chicago, their headquarters in Chicago, where like their workers literally put up like a homeless camp, right? Because they couldn't afford, like, a living wage. Like, they couldn't afford housing, right? Because they weren't being really paid a living wage, right? Because that's something we have to, like, outline too, right? Minimum wage is not always a living wage, right? $15 an hour in LA, you can't live off that shit. Like, even if you were full-time, especially if you got kids, impossible, right? People always want to, like, talk shit about, like, oh, like, we couldn't put up the minimum wage because it's going to drive up prices. And it's like, listen, everything has already gone up in price, but people's, like, living wage has not. The minimum wage has not, right? I think somebody did the math, and it's like, if, you know, the minimum wage kept up with inflation, I think we should have been at $21, $22 by now, right? But that's not the thing. At this point, you either have to get, like, a very, you know, specialized skill to get $20 an hour or more, or go to college and like have a degree behind your name, right, to get that kind of payment.
And you're still in debt. As on top of that, so you're getting paid that, but you're not even really seeing any of that money. And yeah, there was an article about that, and it was, you know, because like I mentioned obviously right now that I moved out, and so I'm like I said, like a single mom. I go to school and I have a part-time job, which is nothing. Like, I would have stayed with my parents because it's financially better for me to do so. But like, again, it was like between that and like my mental health and like struggling even more. So I had to make that choice. But even looking for apartments, for houses, like it was like, you have, like, it's not just even affording it. It's, like, the process of finding housing, right? And, like, if you are, if people qualify. Like, I found this, the place that I live in now. And, like, thankfully, like, the landlord, she was, like, about, like, single moms. And, like, really nice, right? Which is also hard because landlords is, like, another conversation of fucking slumlords. But it's, like, they do a background check. They do a credit check. They ask you to make three times more than what you get paid when it's like you're barely like even making that. You know what I mean? And a lot of people, how are you going to ask them to make three times more than your rent when your rent is high as fuck? And then there was also places that like don't want you to have kids. Like they state like that they don't want kids in the house, which is like to a lot of people, like, again, like kids are like, well, I understand because kids, you know, they color on the walls or like whatever the reason is. But it's like you're actively discriminating against a person being in your fucking house. Like I actually saw places that I was like, oh, like that place looks good. And even if they don't, like there were some people that would state it like no kids. And then there's some people that you meet in person that once you tell them like it's you and your kid, they'd be like you can tell they're like not with it. So on top of that, and then on top of that, it's like Black people, people of color trying to find a place that's rented out by white. You know what I mean? Like there's like a lot of layers to like finding a place to live. And also just like the money, like you also have to give a deposit. Like it's just like, it's a lot.
Yeah. And that fact that like they don't let kids live somewhere, like somewhere that's, that plays into something that we've brought up a lot, right? About how like children are a marginalized group, right? Like they fucking face housing discrimination.
I know, that's like I never children. Really like I never even thought about that or saw it, like I said, until I started looking for places like as a mother. But I was like, is this fucking real? Like I can't, like, you know, there's like people like are more upset about people not allowing you to have dogs than they are like people actually straight up saying like no kids. Like where are families supposed to fucking go if you're saying no fucking kids?
Yeah, I saw a problematic tweet that I thought was funny. And it was like, y'all bitches charging people for like pet deposits but not kids deposits, even though they make a bigger mess. And I'm like, yeah, you're right, pet deposits are homophobic. But also that's problematic. Because yeah, no, why, like, why do they discriminate against kids?
It's because of that's what I'm assuming, right? Because you, like, the way we think of kids again is like they're just like these little monsters who just like ruin everything. And it's like, yeah, kids are gonna be kids obviously, but so are adults. What, you think adults don't have fucking parties and like smash things? That's what I hate too about like people that are like, I hate kids in public. I'm like, have you seen the way adults fucking act in public? Like I'd rather have my kid than you, honestly. Like there was this restaurant, I think it was in Florida, and I had posted this a while ago too, and they were like, they have a sign that says no kids, like they don't allow kids in their restaurant, and everyone in the comments were like, yeah, I hate when fucking kids do this, and I'd rather like just go to another restaurant, just leave your kid at home, we're trying to eat. Like all the comments were like, I need to go here, everyone should do this. Like if it was like some, like, again, like, this edgy thing to do to, like, ban kids from your restaurant. And I'm just, like, I posted about it. And I was, like, this is fucking bullshit. And, like, you, like, what the, like, if it was any other group of people, like, to say, like, you're not allowed to come in here, right? And then everyone, again, was, like, you're being dramatic. Like, you don't, I don't hate kids. It's just, you know, that whole thing. And, like, I'm just, like, I don't understand how adults think that like they act better than children. Like it's even at restaurants, and it was like they serve beer there too, so I'm like, loud ass, especially men, but like you're upset that this little kid is like yelling or talking loud, like whatever. But anyways, that was just a rant. My fair. Weekly,
I think I would have, I think in another No, I think in another life, like, in another life, like, a couple months ago, I would have been like, yeah, let's go to this restaurant.
Yeah.
Oh, d'oeuvres, bitch. It.
But, like, obviously, and there's some, you know, like, I'm not saying, like, oh, all the kids act beautiful all the time. Like, no, like, they're fucking kids. Like, I've seen some kids that I'm just like, really? Like, why are you staring at me, right? Like, everyone has gone through. Yeah. Sometimes even my kid, like, I have to settle him down because he's a fucking kid, you know? But I'm not all, like, gonna be like, wow, that kid shouldn't fucking be in here ever in my presence. Fuck that kid, you know? Like, and I think that some people get away with it more. Like, that's also, like, can lead to another discussion of, like, white kids and them being able to do whatever the fuck they want versus, like, if a Black child did something or if my child did something, I'd be seen, like, a terrible parent because I'm brown. But if, like, you know, that's a whole nother conversation, but as a whole, like, yeah, like, we're just, like, discriminating against children, and it's fucking cool, because it's children, you know? So, So.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. So there's like a lot of, mm-hmm. a lot of things are at play.
But anyway, back to Disney's bitch ass.
But all that is to say is, yeah, all that is to say that like the minimum wage is not helping any fucking family.
Right? I get paid minimum wage. I'm sorry. I get paid minimum wage, and the other day I got a 25% raise, a 25 cent raise, and I was like, wow, thank you so much.
Went up.
But what I tell myself is, like, I take all these breaks at work, and I do shit that I'm not supposed to do all the time, and I'm like, you're going to pay me minimum wage, or you're going to get minimum wage work, bitch. So, yeah. You know? Minimum work, bitch, which is me leaving on company time to get coffee. Just kidding. I don't do that. Just kidding. I might sometimes. I've done that, yeah. I go in. They're like, we listen to your episode on Better About Them. It's very dumb. We got a legend.
They're like, Cassandra, have you heard of this podcast?
You know what? They're like, we're big fans. We're big fans, but we don't agree with this, and we can't pretend that we didn't listen to it. So we got to let you go. And we thought you would appreciate that raise, so we're taking it back.
We're taking it back by firing?
No, but actually, that's why I don't put my last name online. Because, like, I work these jobs, and, like, yeah. Can you imagine? Companies Google you, you know? Okay. I just imagine them Googling me, and then yeah. They're just like, wow, you said this about white people? I'm like, no. I don't know who that is. They used my picture.
Mm-mm.
What is that?
Chicanisma? Never heard of her. Nope.
I love America.
I'm a white Republican. Yeah,
voting for Ted Cruz.
I'm voting for Beto O'Rourke. Just, you know, just doing it.
Yeah. Anyway, minimum wage sucks.
Minimum wage sucks. And, like, another argument, too, that, like, that people are like, oh, well, you know, them bitches are flipping burgers and blah, 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 and, like, they don't deserve to get paid. And I'm just like, have you flipped a burger, bitch? Like, do you know how difficult it is to fucking, like, make that happen? Like, this is a skill, right? If everyone can make burgers, right, like, everyone would be doing it. Nobody would be going to Jack in the Box and fucking, you know, Jim's Burgers, they wouldn't be a thing, right? But because bitches can't do it, that's why we have folks who have it. And they should be paid. People who are feeding you should be, you know, paid enough to fucking feed themselves.
Yeah, and have you seen all the shit that, like, fast food workers go through?
Girl, I worked fast food for 4 years.
Like, all of the videos of them getting... Yeah, of getting harassed, of getting yelled at, of being working when your drunk ass comes at 3 a.m, cleaning after you. Like, it's not like they're just standing there. Like, I'm disgusted by how many videos I've seen of, like, fast food workers getting physically attacked by people, especially black and brown people, you know? And also, I hate this, like, I always see this, like, this narrative of, like, EMT workers get paid minimum wage and these or whoever, and now these fast food workers think they should get paid more than them. And I'm like, why aren't you questioning why EMTs get paid minimum wage? That's the real problem here. Like, why are you okay with, like, EMTs? Do I think EMTs should be paid minimum wage? No.
Yeah. And them EMT bitches, they have to go to school, like, they have to, like, work to get those jobs. I remember I was sucking this EMT dude's dick for a minute, and he's like, he used to, like, put in hella hours.
Was it good? Was it good, medical dick? Is EMT dick good? Yes or no?
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Is that
yeah.
minimum wage dick yeah. good?
That's yes why I support, no? like, you know, raising yeah? the minimum
okay.
wage.
Okay. Yeah, they deserve it. Good dicks deserve good yeah. living.
We're gonna get canceled.
Okay. Okay, anyway, and then he had to go to yeah, school and he didn't get paid shit. Right?
Oh, Bitter Brown fams are exoticizing EMT workers. Cancel them. Problematic.
Yeah. Wow, okay. Well, we'll just edit that.
No,
out.
But yeah. Why I didn't even know EMT workers were getting minimum wage. Wow, I should have listened more to that person.
They were. Yeah, no. My ex is an EMT worker, and she went through, like, the like, it was a thing. Like, she had to go to school. It was, like, a whole thing. And then when I realized that they get paid minimum wage, I was like, what? But you, like, it was, like, it's, like, you're fucking saving people's lives. like, what the fuck? And you're like, yeah. But that's a thing. Like, EMTs and people that work at fast food should both be paid good fucking money, regardless of, like, and I don't understand why people, like, that bothers people. Like, instead of saying, like, hey, we should all be getting paid this, or, like, well, I or these people do more than you, some, you know? Like, why?
And, like, if you really think about it, like, both of these people, like, both of these extremes, like, they're on different ends of, like, keeping people alive. And it's just, like, people should really think about that.
I support both EMTs and fast food workers. We are pro both.
Unless you're a racist, bigot, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Unless you're a Leo. Just kidding.
Anyway, who are we not... You know who we're not supporting? What? Docu-media.
Okay, let's talk about this, because I've been waiting. Like, I haven't posted anything about it online, because I'm like, that was like my whole thing at Undocumedia since like forever. And so I was like, I'll just wait until me and Ruben record.
Yeah, I've also been in that space. I've dedicated all of one tweet to it and all of one Instagram story, like, snap, because it's...
Yeah.
Let's make something very clear. Like, we are in solidarity with victims of abuse and harassment and black people who experience racism, right, at the hands of Undocumedia. So we're in solidarity with them.
Yes, 100%, always. So for people that don't know what Undocumedia is, probably our white followers. No, they probably do, because Undocumedia gets all the liberal followers.
Shout out white people.
Yes. Undocumedia is I've been asking myself this question: who are they? What do they do? Mostly, what do they do? And that's, you know, that sounds really like I'm I'm throwing shade right now, but I just, that's an honest, genuine question. What do they do? I know that they have an Instagram page where they share everybody else's stuff, but they're an org, like a company. Like, they have board members and a president and a vice president, and so that means that they are an actual, right, like a legit org company. But I don't know what they do. So if anyone knows what they do, you can DM me or tell me, because I went on their site and it doesn't, I don't know what they do. Let's just, they do something. I don't know what it is, but they do something. And I would assume by their name that it's in relation to undocumented struggles, folks. But maybe it's just a name. I don't know. Okay, aside from that.
And even then, it's like undocumented, like non-black people, right?
Yes, bingo. Which we'll get to that. So Undocumedia is like this. It's a popular page that people follow. Like, a lot of people follow that page. They have a lot of followers on Facebook and Instagram. I don't know if they have a Twitter. But so they post a lot. Like I said, it's not original content, but they post people's tweets, people's stories. but yeah, people follow it, whatever. It's like a liberal, you know, fucking page. And then, like, what, has it been like 3 weeks, 4 weeks since like the first?
It's been a minute.
Yeah, it's been a while. So, I want to say a couple weeks ago, who was?
Carla Estrada.
Carla Estrada was the first person who came forward with documenting, what's his name, Ivan
Ceja,
who is the president, right? He's somewhat important.
He's like the figurehead, yeah.
Of Undocumedia. So she came forward with allegations of him harassing her. Just, she worked with them. I think she was a part of Undocumedia. And she was this, I think it was on Instagram. So after Carla Estrada came forward, a lot of other people came forward, a lot of women, about the same thing, about harassment, about him just being shady. And then there was another person who came forward about his anti-blackness. So it was not just harassment or inappropriate behavior towards women. It was also like him being anti-black, which is, again, is like coming from a page who is called Undocumedia, who I would assume says that they are for undocumented people, and that includes black people. So you can't really, shouldn't be excluding black people from that movement, from that issue. So this guy is just like an all around trash bag, I would say. And so when these stories came out, everyone was waiting for him to make a statement, or were waiting for Indocumedia as a whole to make a statement. And that didn't happen for like 2 weeks, I would say, for like a really long time. Like, they didn't post anything. And then finally, this guy, the dirtbag, made a statement on his personal Facebook. Or he resigned, right? He stepped down, and then he made, like, a Facebook post where he was kind of, like, it was, like, his apology. But it was, like, not an apology. It was, like, he tried to counter, like, the abuse and the harassment, and, like, said sorry to, like, Carla Estrada and, like, the other women, but when it came to the anti-blackness, it was like he did not even acknowledge that. Like, he was like, nah, that didn't happen. Okay, so a black woman just made that shit up. What the fuck? You know, and that was like pretty much like his quote-unquote apology. And everyone in the comments, which it was only the people he was friends with were allowed to comment. And obviously all those people were like, it's okay, we forgive you. People make mistakes. You know, other trash bags. So,
yeah.
That's pretty much,
like,
the rundown.
People do make mistakes, but, like, mm-hmm. not everyone is an abuser, right? Exactly. And I think that's something that we have to make clear off the bat, right? Not everyone sexually harasses other people. Not everyone's a virulent racist, right? And not only did he post on his personal Facebook, but also Latino Rebels, Latino with an O, not Latina, Latino Rebels gave him a platform to post that, all that status, right? So they elevated his shit.
I thought that they just copied and pasted his.
He like published with them, yeah.
Yeah, that was another thing I was seeing, like, people sharing, like, Latino Rebels, like, updates about it, and I was just like, y'all are trash too, so, like, it's, like, double trash, and, like, I don't care what Latino Rebels reporting on Indocumedia trash that happened, and I'm just like,
it's that Spider-Man meme where they're both pointing at each other?
That's, like, exactly what it was. I was just like, anyway, like, you're trash too, and you're anti-black, and you're a lot of fucking,
They're the same publication, quote unquote, but they were trying to be like, said that I was slandering Gustavo Arellano, remember?
Oh, yeah. That's why I was like, anyway. But the reason, like I said, I stand with, like, the people that came forward, the women that came forward, but it wasn't surprising, and it wasn't, and not, it's never surprising when men do these things, right? But it wasn't surprising because, like I said, Indocumedia, like, from what I've known, and again, I obviously could be wrong, but it's always been to me, like, two men, mostly. Like, that's what I saw, like, that they would present it as two men that run the account, Ivan Ceja and, like, the other guy. And so that, to me, I was just like, why would I want to follow two men running some platform called Indocumedia, two light-skinned, or at least Ivan Ceja's light-skinned, who just kind of steal everybody else's work and, like, post it as their own. I mean, they don't post it as their own. They at least show the credit of the person who originally posted it. But it was just, like, a very liberal fucking page to me. So I don't fucking care about Indocumedia. But it's not surprising. They haven't really lost a lot of followers. I know I saw a lot of support for the women that came forward. And people were like, I don't fuck with Indocumedia anymore. I'm going to unfollow them. But overall, they didn't really lose anything from what I saw.
No, they still have essentially the same follower account. I think they lost like 1,000 Instagram followers out of their 360,000 plus.
Wow.
It's nothing, right? I think the only tweet I dedicated to them was like, you know, not only that they gain, then not only the Latino Rebels give them a platform, but they didn't lose any followers. So, like, tell me again how y'all are here for, like, victims of abuse, right? And the thing is that people are not. They don't give a fuck, right? Because I don't really see, you know, the harassment of women, right? And queer people and trans people and black people, right? They don't see that as, like, something that we should try to hold someone accountable for, mm-hmm. right? And so it was upsetting but not surprising that they didn't lose anything. And they're still the same. They're going to continue on, right, being the fucked up do nothing org that they are. I think that somebody said that they started off as like wanting to do good for undocumented people, right? And like change the narrative. But other people who have worked with them have stated that like they're essentially just like opportunists, right? And show up to protests that they don't organize and just for the photo op, right? And this in photo op allows them to pretend that they are part of a movement when they're really not, you know what I'm saying? But something that really strike me was the fact that like one of the most detailed accounts of harassment outside of Carla Estrada was Danae's account of anti-blackness, right? Danae Joseph is the black woman who talked about Ivan Ceja's anti-blackness, and she was so detailed. And in speaking to one of my good friends, who's also who's a black Latinx person, they were like, you realize that she had to be this detailed because otherwise y'all wouldn't believe her, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, fuck, like, yeah, you're right. And even then, like, her narrative has been pushed to the back burner, right? And compared to Carla, right? And even Ceja's, like, mea culpa, right? It wasn't, like, it didn't acknowledge her allegations at all. It was just, like, I wasn't racist by, right? And it referred to black people as allies as opposed to, like...
people in our community?
Yeah, right? That was odd and, like, a subtle... form of anti-blackness.
Yeah, very telling that you would call black people, especially black Latinx, quote-unquote allies. It proved that obviously all of those things were true, not that we didn't know already, but yeah, so you can all unfollow undocumented.
They won't do it.
They won't do it. Which I don't know why people were following to begin with, but anyway, let me stop.
Awesome. White people are going to be like, or our listeners are going to be like, oh, they talk shit about them. I got to follow them now.
Yeah.
But that brings up something that I've been like wrestling with for a minute is like, you know, do we cancel? How do we go about holding people accountable that refuse to be held accountable, especially when they're doing like, quote unquote, good work, right? And this doesn't apply to abusers. Abusers, you gotta kick out of your spaces immediately, right? Because someone who abuses people doesn't have your same vision of liberation, right? Because they still think abuse is acceptable. But what about somebody who's just, like, being bigoted and still doing good on, quote-unquote, good work? Like, what do we do? What does that mean? Right? And I think, something that had me thinking about that was a recent essay about MIA and, like, her behavior around Black Lives Matter a couple years ago. It was written by Fariha Roizen, and it just complicated how we thought about canceling people. You know what I'm saying? I think it was called, like, MIA and the Defense of Nuance. And it contextualized MIA's anti-blackness, which is, like, now that I'm saying it out loud, I'm just like, why the fuck do we need context for anti-blackness? But anyway, it, like, tried to contextualize where she was coming from, right? And it struck me as, like...
Can you tell us about MIA first? For people that don't know what she said or did a few years... This was, like, 2 years ago, I feel.
Yeah, 2 years ago. So MIA, if you don't know her, she's like this Sri Lankan artist who is based off of UK, off the UK, and she her music centers around immigrant experiences and being undocumented and being a brown girl and being coming from in like an Arab world or whatever, and being marginalized, right? And so you might know her for her song Paper Planes. And during her last album, like, tour, like, interview period, they asked her about Black Lives Matter. And I forgot what the question was exactly. And she was like, why is it only Black Lives Matter? Why isn't Beyonce and Kendrick Lamar talking about Muslims' Lives Matter? or Syrian lives matter, or this kid in Pakistan matters, right? And it was her, like, derailing a conversation about Black lives in order to center herself in a way that she thought was just, but it doesn't translate, right? Especially now when you consider that, like, Black Muslims exist, right? So when we say Black Lives Matter, we're talking about Muslims too, right?
And Black immigrants.
We're talking about
Black everybody.
Yeah,
Black immigrants. Queer folks, Black.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Yeah, so anti-Blackness exists within Muslim communities, right? Exists within every community, right? So whatever she was trying to get at was erasing Black people, right? In those communities. And so this author got a chance to talk to her publicly once and asked her about those comments that she made, that MIA made 2 years ago. And MIA stood her wrong-ass ground. She was like, well, you know, you still don't care about, you know, Pakistanians dying and, you know, blah, blah, blah dying. And it's just like, we care, but we also know that, like, anti-Blackness is still at work. So we have to have deeper conversations, right? So where do we go from here, right? MIA, who stands for so many, you know, powerful things, and how do we go about canceling? Do we cancel someone like that? Someone who's done important work, but is also just loud and wrong.
Yeah. I was like, she was one of the people that when I saw that those anti-Black comments she made, I was really disappointed. Because it's not surprising of any non-Black person holding these views and saying these things, right? But from my age, like, someone who's, well, I love her music, and I loved her, and her music and her politics were about that shit. Like, they were about just, like, her being against her government. I think even her government, like, had banned her from Sri Lanka. Like, she's gone through a lot. Like, she wrote about it in her music. She was someone who made powerful videos. Like, just a very, like, political artist that I respected and that I loved. And so when she made those comments, I was like, what? Like, why would she say that, you know? Which, again, is not surprising, but I was very disappointed. And then I felt like, wow. You know, like, I don't know. She was one of those artists that just, like, really let you down when they say shit like that. And so I think she kind of fell out of the spotlight, because when she made those comments, she was on Afropunk. I mean, Afropunk. She was it Afropunk?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because they removed her from the lineup when she made those comments.
Yeah, and I think justly so, because how are you going to say, how are you going to be anti, like, Black Lives Matter and then perform at Afropunk?
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't make sense.
Which is valid, obviously, because you're fucking playing a black festival, and then you say that shit, right? And she never obviously apologized for that, and she still hasn't, or she still thinks she's right about what she said. And she's, even though it's been, what, like we said, like 2 years, and in those 2 years she could have
read a book
to do whatever you need to do to understand that you're wrong, and, like, first acknowledging that you're wrong, and then she could have publicly made a statement. And whether Black folks decide to fuck with her after that or not, like, that's still something that needs to be done, right? Like, because people don't have to forgive you, they don't have to like you, but you still need to try to make amends, or, like, acknowledge that you did something hurtful or said something hurtful. And she has not done that, and it's still like, what do you do? Like, you've given the person 2 fucking years to come around. I'm sure people have wrote articles about why, not just her making that statement, but people that make those statements, people of color that make those, non-Black people of color that make those statements, why they're anti-Black, why they're wrong. Like, it has all been said. So there's no excuse for you to be like, well, I'm still right, and I'm not going to apologize, and my, you know, whatever, whatever, whatever. So I think at that point, it's even more perfectly valid to cancel people out, right? Because I think, like, we talk about call-out culture, and immediately, especially if it's
Black women.
Especially Black women, trans women that do stuff, we're, like, automatically, like, fuck you, you did this. But when it's, like, a white person or a man, we're like, oh, no, you didn't know. Well, we're going to forgive you, you know?
How many chances has Lena Dunham got?
No, unlimited. She has the unlimited card. Yeah. So, like, so I wanted to believe, like, hey, MIA is gonna come back and make it right, or at least try or something, but I don't think that's gonna happen, obviously.
Yeah.
So
what do we do now? So is this person canceled, do you think?
I mean, yeah, I think she's I mean I haven't really actively been followed her since then, or like kept up with her. I don't know if she's released music to, I don't know what she's done since then, but obviously that says something, that after she made those statements, a lot of people were like, okay, well, don't really care to follow up with her anymore. If she's been in the public eye, because like I said, I haven't followed her. So
yeah,
she, for all we know, she could have released an album, and that speaks to like people not even fucking with that, you know?
Yeah. She made these comments around her last album. I think it was called AIM. But she's releasing a documentary around her ban, because she did bringing it back to the religious task force. She experienced the first wave of the Muslim ban under, I think it was either George Bush or Obama. It's a documentary, I think, about like that period of her life, and so that's why she's coming back to the forefront. And so for me, this is an important narrative, and I think, like, I'm not even gonna front. Like, let me just put it out there. Like, I love MIA. Her music was really monumental to me understanding what social justice can look like, right? Mm-hmm. Because she made music that was, like, fun, and you danced to, and you got drunk to, and you partied to, right? But it was also, like, very political music. Like,
mm-hmm.
it was her biggest song, Paper Planes, is about like the immigrant struggle, right? And immigrant stereotypes, right? And that, I mean, I have like a Paper Plane tattoo, like.
Wow. Okay. I was not expecting that.
Well, you knew this was here.
No, I've never seen that.
Shut the fuck up.
I've never seen that. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. No. So like, true story, I got this tattoo like maybe like 2 months before she made those comments.
Wow, 2 months before.
Yeah.
That's sad.
Yeah, no, so I was really, really heartbroken when she did that. When she was like virulently anti-black, and when she wouldn't back down. And I think 2 years later, I was ready to give her another chance. And this article, it didn't change my mind entirely, but it did make me question a lot of things. Like, is me canceling at my age, is me like derailing my own anti-blackness and the anti-blackness of my community and my family, right? What does canceling this person do, right? I understand like canceling like R. Kelly, because like funding him directly puts black women in danger. But what about someone whose bigotry is just a different, another type of sinister? And so for me, I have to admit, I don't really listen to her music anymore. I did cancel her after that, but I'm like, years later now, I'm wondering if like that was reactionary or what, right? So I'm just like in a weird headspace about her. I want to love her, right? She's a brown girl. She's, you know, been instrumental to me understanding things, but I also want people to grow. And I think if you love somebody, you would be committed to their growth. And she's just not committed to her own fucking growth. So, and she ain't fixing herself, like, no amount of love is gonna change that.
That's real, yeah. That's also, I don't know, it's also a conversation of, like, she made these anti-black comments, and as someone who's not black, also having a say in, like, oh, I forgive her.
Or not, yeah.
Right? Because it wasn't, like, against me. She didn't say anything about me. She said something about Black people. I don't know. You know, when I see, like, white celebrities or any non-Black celebrities say something about Black people, and then their non-Black fans are like, I forgive them. And I'm like,
yeah,
but you're not Black. Like, they didn't say anything about you. So it's easy for you to be like, oh, it's okay. You know, she didn't mean that. Or I can forgive her or whatever when it's not really, like, about you, right?
Yeah, and that's a good point. And I think one of my mutuals on Twitter brought up the good point about, like, even this exercise of, like, deciding whether to cancel MIA or not is way more than we give Black women. Like, is way more space than we give Black women to fuck up, right? And so that says a lot too, right? Who can fuck up and be given space, and whose complexity can be considered,
mm-hmm.
right? And so, yeah. You know who's given a lot of fucking room, though? White men.
Yeah, all the time. Like,
yeah,
all the time. Mm-hmm. For just they don't even say sorry, and people are like, it's okay.
Yeah. I forgive you.
I forgive you. For saying this, and then they're like, no, I meant it. They're like, no, it's okay. It's okay. I forgive you. I know you didn't mean it. Just be quiet. Yeah. Like, who's a white man that...
Yeah,
I mean, like, all white men, but...
All white men? Yeah, definitely.
All white men,
right?
But...
But this is one white man that's headlining a Latino festival. A Latinx festival.
Chicanx.
Shut the fuck up! It's Latinx!
It's Latinx.
Cardi B is Dominican. Cali,
I know.
Fuchis,
I didn't mean it like
Colombiana.
That. I meant it that if you look at that, if you look at that lineup, it screams Chica next to me. Most of it screams Chica. Like, the people who made this were like, let's, you know, like those fake Coachella flyers that people make, that it's like the emo version or like the Latinx version. This is like what people would make. That's like a fake Chica next Coachella flyer, but it's like real. Because it has fucking Morrissey and Chicano Batman. And it has fucking Bronco on it.
Bronco, oh my god! Because I was like not as I was like on like a
Google
1 to 10 scale of like hype. I was already a 12, but when you were like Broncos playing, and I'm like fuck 15.
Fucking Devendra Banhart, who's like the hipster god. Anyway, that's not to erase non-Mexican Latinx, I apologize, but that's just to say that all the people that have been hype about this were mostly like stereotypical Chicanx.
And the flyer was also like a lotería.
Yeah, I was like, look, that's what I mean. Like, it was just,
I
like,
think the presentation of it like lends to like
Chicanx pan dulce shit.
Chicanx pan dulce Twitter.
And I thought it was fake.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this is a real thing that's happening. Oh, okay. But yeah, Morrissey. Morrissey's like the first. The next to Cardi, like Morrissey and Cardi B, which is super funny to me, but
yeah, because they're like opposite ends of the spectrum,
yeah,
right?
Spectrum,
like,
yeah. But Morrissey playing Loteria fucking Chicanx best
pan dulce community,
yeah, makes a lot of fucking sense, because if you don't know this, Chicanxes and Mexicans fucking love Morrissey. That's like a well known. A fucking thing, right? That cholos and just Chicanxes love fucking Morrissey. That's like the, I don't know, he's like the thing to, like, next to pan dulce, it's like Morrissey, right? I don't know why, but it is.
He's like the Juan Gabriel for like bilingual people.
Yeah. And so everyone's like, yeah, fuck yeah, Morrissey. But then when we look at Morrissey's fucking politics and just himself and as a whole human being, he's pretty whack.
Homosexual.
We'll get to that in a few seconds. But yeah, he's like whack as fuck. Someone made like, and it's been passed around like a flyer similar to that, where it's like Morrissey and some of the quotes that he has said, which are comments about, there was
Muslim people.
Muslim? I didn't see the Muslim one. Was it on there?
Oh. Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure, yeah, he has said stuff about Muslim. I didn't see the Muslim one. Anti-Black comments. There was one about East Asian people. There was recently, when like the whole Me Too thing was happening, the Me Too campaign, he said, like, kind of justifying it, like, in a way, like, he was like, oh, all of a sudden, all men are just being accused of everything, you know, like, men can't even breathe now because all of a sudden everything they do is harassment.
Yeah, what he said about that was, and this is a quote directly from Morrissey. Anyone who has ever said to someone else, I like you, is suddenly being charged with sexual harassment.
Yeah.
What a reductive ass piece of shit.
Yeah. And so he has made anti-black comments. He's made comments about East Asian people. He's made a comment about Muslims.
Yeah, he said halal meat requires certification that can only be given by supporters of ISIS. He said, you can't help but feel that the Chinese people are a subspecies. He said, reggae, for example, is to me the most racist music in the entire world. It's an absolute total glorification of black supremacy. And this is the same man who once, like, put out a shirt that had the N-word on it. I think it was the John Lennon quote about how, like, music is the N-word of the world, I think it was.
That's what the shirt said? Music?
I think it did. It said...
I know the original quote, but he replaced women with music. The original quote is, women is the N-word of the world, which is a sign... Or didn't Yoko Ono say that? Or was it John Lennon?
I think it was, I don't know.
Somebody, one of them said that. Anyway, the point is, Morrissey is a piece of shit. And a lot of people know this. Like, it's, if you like Morrissey, or if you're familiar with Morrissey, you would know that he's just, like, you don't want him to ever say anything. Also, he's, like, a hardcore vegan. So, you know, and a lot of white vegans are just, they're naturally trash. So it's not like some surprising thing that Morrissey's trash. Also, he's a Gemini. So, yeah. So Morrissey's headlining this, like, festival that's supposed to be some Latinx, highlighting mostly Latinx artists, which I feel is, like, interesting to place Morrissey on that. And also interesting that Morrissey agreed to that. Also, because he always cancels all the time. He's probably not going to show up, to be honest. And, yeah.
He's probably going to show up just to say something anti-black and anti-whore about Cardi B. I already tweeted. Like, I guarantee you this man is going to say something shitty about Cardi B. And Chicken X are going to rally around him because they fucking love Morrissey more than their fucking mom.
Yeah, someone on my Facebook head was like, oh, Chicken X is the Morrissey because he's anti-black just like them. And I was like, can't even... That's true. That's real. That's real. Also, before we started recording, I told Ruben that I thought that Morrissey was asexual. I swear I need to do further investigating into that, but I could have sworn I read something that he was asexual, right? And so this whole time I was thinking that he was asexual. And so I Googled it, and he is actually not asexual. In his own words, he is also not homosexual. He is a humosexual. That means he likes humans. That means, you know, when people say, like, I love all races, that's what that's what that sounds like to me. So he made his own term that he said, unfortunately, I am not homosexual. In technical fact, I am a homosexual. I am attracted to humans, but of course, not many. You know, just the white ones, obviously. That's what he means by that.
He once said that, like, Mexicans have fantastic hair, fantastic skin, and fantastic teeth.
Wow, okay. Yeah, and then he wrote that song, First of the Gang to Die, which is like a...
Ugh.
He wrote it, I don't know if many of you have heard this song, but it's like about this guy named Hector, who's obviously a Chicano, who like is in a gang, and it's like... I feel like he wrote it for, like, he was like, hey, Chicanx, I see you. You love me. So I'm going to write this song about you. But it's about this guy, Hector, who dies in a gang fight.
Hard relate.
Hard relate. Yes. I know Hector.
Sign me up. Sign me up for gang violence.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Okay. So the end of the song says he stole all the hearts away. Okay, so I fuck with Hector, a true emo gang fighter of the Chicanx community.
He was the original Cholo guy, yes, right? Prayers, homes.
Oh, prayers. That just now when I think of prayers, I just think of Kat Von D and her fucking whack ass too.
So me too.
Let me get into that. Let's just end this episode before we just keep going on about.
You know who should have been? Let's end this episode on like somebody who should have headlined Tropicália. Mm-hmm. Tropicália.
I call it Tropicana.
Whatever.
Tropicana.
Should have headlined that. Who should have headlined the Loteria and Pan Dulce Festival?
Belanova. Yeah. What the? How is Belanova not on there?
Yeah. It's homophobic that Belanova was not booked. How dare you? Yes.
How fucking dare you? Belanova. Show some fucking respect. Okay?
Yes. She is the Hillary Duff of Mexico.
She sure is. That's what I was jamming out to in high school when all the fresas would try to be like, nah, you can't listen to this. And I'd be like, well, I am one of you, so accept me.
TBH, right? Like, Belanova is like peak fresa music.
Yeah.
Right.
So Denise, who's a singer, I don't know if you say it Denise or Denise.
Oh my God, such a fresa.
She's also
name,
a fashion Yeah, she's a fashion designer. Have you seen her fucking outfits? They're fucking amazing.
Yeah.
She's just so cute. Like, how can you not put her on there? Rude. It's rude. So,
yeah,
it's only right that we end with a Belanova song.
Yeah, I mean, this is like, you know, I got bullied in high school for this. I might as well play this.
Yeah, gay bashing music. Let's do it.
Yeah. Music to get bullied to. Belanova, Dulce Beat.
You're like getting like harassed in the locker room, but like Belanova's playing.
Yeah.
And you go to like gay heaven while it's happening.
Oh, shut the fuck. Not because you're dead,
your spirit leaves your body for that moment, so you don't experience the bullying because Belanova saves you.
You just experience the homosexuality that is Belanova.
Exactly, and that's why they should have been on that fucking fest. It's rude. Right.
Ugh, y'all bitches got Bronco. Y'all don't have Belanova. Ugh, I hate the homophobia in the Latinx community.
Mm-hmm. So let's pay some respect to Belanova. What song are we gonna hit? We had a hard time deciding the song because me and Ruben were like, let's pick a song, and then for an hour we pretty much just watched each other dance to Belanova songs. So it was hard picking one song.
Yeah, they're just bop central, like TBH, especially their like Dulce Beat and then Fantasia Pop, like immaculate collections.
Yes.
I actually don't remember what song we...
Baila Mi Corazón.
Baila Mi Corazón.
And it was hard, okay? They have a lot of good songs, so it was hard picking just one. We like Me Pregunto, we like Niño.
Rosa
Niño
Pastel.
Was up there, but it was like, it's kind of sad, so we didn't want y'all to be sad at work or driving or wherever, you know. We should have played Niño. We should just... Everyone should just listen to Belanova, okay? But we're going to play Baila Mi Corazón, so everyone can, you know, it's a good bop. Just dance. Feel good.
We're gonna play Baila Mi Corazón, and then after that we're just gonna put the whole Dulce Beat and Fantasia Pop albums.
So this episode is gonna run a few days.
Yeah. You know, it's no worries. You love us and you love Belanova, or at least you should after this episode.
Yeah, watch, like in a week they're gonna add Belanova to the
watch. They'll drop Morrissey. They're like political commentators Cassandra and Ruben in their podcast, Bitter Brown Femmes, ignited the movement of hashtag cancel Morrissey and add Belanova. No. Belanova gives us a shout out. I would just like to thank
Bitter
Brown Femmes.
She gives us some of her clothes.
Oh, she's so skinny.
Okay, we're like fantasizing now. But yes, so that concludes this episode. We hope that you enjoyed it. And also, like we mentioned, that summer's kind of over because school is starting. So if you are a part of an org at school, or even if you're not, go hit them up and invite us to your campus to do a live recording or just to do a lecture or a workshop or whatever you want us to do. And because we want to meet you all. And me and Ruben also just want to see each other. So you can do that for us.
Yeah, a reminder that we do not live in the same state. We have to video call every single time we record. People are always like, have me on your show. And again, we have to remind y'all that we can barely have each other on the show. Yeah. You can book us at bookings@bitterbrownfemspodcast.com. Yep, that means we have a site up and running now. So, in case you didn't know, bitterbrownfemspodcast.com is your home for all things Bitter Brown Femmes. So we post everything that you heard about today. We post more articles so you can continue learning and growing after the episode is done, right? So bitterbrownfemspodcast.com and bitterbrownfemspodcast.com/bookings is where you can learn all about our, you know, our lectures and shit like that. So check it out. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Follow us home. Just, you know, just follow us.
Just follow us.
All right, bitches. I guess we're done.
Yeah, because we can't stop talking. So we're just going to go. We're going to let the music take over.
All right. All right. Thank you for joining us.
We'll see you next time.
Bye. Bye.